All right. Do you want to go first, Jen, or do you want me to go first?
You go first, please, okay. Adam.
Hello, I am Adam Ganong.
And I'm Jenna Noor.
And you are listening to yet another episode of The Rules Podcast.
It's an improv writing podcast where we workshop, write, and perform stories, all while following a set of rules.
And this week, those rules come from another very special place. We have probably our only recurring character.
I am a character, not a human being.
It's Kyle Anderson. Kyle, say a few words about yourself.
Hi, I'm Kyle Anderson, as Adam just said. I introduced myself last time as a student of electrical engineering at UMB. I'm still doing that. Mm-hmm. Nothing new with me.
Mm-hmm. And a student of life?
Yeah.
Always a student of life.
Mm-hmm. And a student.
I watch kung fu movies.
Yes, and I was a student of kung fu, unless I'm mistaken, right?
No. I was kind of going for the student of life, meditative, you know, progressing the self thing with the kung fu movie joke.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. So you have been in the studio with Adam a few times. But it's our first time in the studio together.
It is, Jenna.
Yes, I'm very happy to have you here.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank mm-hmm. you.
So you're in engineering, is what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us something special about yourself, something fun about yourself that maybe I won't know. Adam might know, but this is a getting to know you for us.
Try and surprise me. Try and think of something I don't know.
Oh, goodness, Adam.
You don't have
to. Is there anything? We're basically Jim and Pam.
Aw. I didn't know what I was walking into, but this is real sweet.
You're going to need to leave, Jenna.
Ooh.
I'm pushing you out.
I'm just joking, of course.
So am I Dwight? Is that...
Oh.
This is my mic out suddenly.
Let's just ignore that analogy.
Yes. Okay.
Nothing comes to mind right now, Jenna. I don't know why.
That's okay.
I don't think about ways to describe myself very often.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that I'll get a very good image of who you are as a person over the next hour or so.
That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Trial by fire.
Okay. I have listened to the two previous episodes that you were on, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun, too. Mm-hmm. All right. Kyle, I do believe you have some rules for us.
I do. They are a doozy.
Yeah?
All right. Adam, Jenna, here are the rules. First rule, there must be no human characters in your story.
Okay.
All right. Let that settle, right?
Sure.
The second sort of helps out the first, to be honest, but the second rule is there must not be any dialogue in your story.
Okay.
A little Jenna Noor speciality. I'm mm-hmm. going to handicap you.
Really? Oh my. Okay. Yep. I do think monologues would be appropriate. You know,
okay.
We're allowed to know what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The last rule, the setting must take place in the future.
Okay.
I was thinking like, far into the future.
Okay.
But,
distant future.
Go with it.
Okay.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up my story from last week with Sage and literally just use that. I'm just joking.
Did I hand you an easy story there, Adam?
Oh, I'll be able to. Just the joke is, last week with Sage, I wrote a story about, it was like a computer, like an AI program that was just talking to the person using it and just like telling a story. So it literally meets
all of your
rules comically.
Mm-hmm. Oh my.
But like the
movie Her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But no, I think we'll be able to work with these.
Yes. Absolutely.
Very good rules.
I have some initial impressions, Adam.
All right, Jenna, what are you thinking?
No human characters. That mm-hmm. will be easy for you and a challenge for me.
Yes.
As we saw in our fairy tale episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there must be no dialogue. That is exactly in my court, but you always have dialogue. So.
Except for we just did a fairy tale episode and who wrote zero dialogue?
That's true.
This guy.
I'm speaking generally.
Yes.
I guess.
Generally? Never mind.
Move
Let's
faster.
Move on, guys.
Yes. And that was labored, Adam.
Yes.
It was.
The distant future. I think we'll both be fine there.
Oh, I think I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So my main idea is like robots are insanely easy.
Okay.
I just kind of mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of want to go for fantasy characters though, because I really, I don't know why, but I love putting fantasy characters in space.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dwarves flying spaceships.
Mm, that's pretty good.
Specifically dwarves flying spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
any reason for that, Adam? Can you be specific? Like,
it's just interesting. Just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Your stubby little hands on that huge steering wheel.
You're painting a vivid picture.
It's actually very good.
As is it? Wow. Okay.
The more I think about it, the steering wheel image got me.
I always think of like from like Warcraft and things like that. Like dwarves are always like the mace wielders. So I'm thinking of like Ragnarok and mixing those worlds, like Thor.
Ooh.
But dwarf style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dwarven Thor.
Mm, that's good. Okay. So let's come up with some stories.
So I am thinking we can still have like organic life characters, right? They just can't be.
Sure.
They can't be human.
Mm-hmm.
That was the rule.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're sticking to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of maybe like taking that rule to the extreme and having like no characters. So maybe like assigning like characteristics to objects. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Personifying them in any way or
yeah,
point of view of an object?
Mm-hmm. Maybe telling a story that depicts objects, like maybe a tragedy in some sort of like forgotten or lost object, but it's kind of allegorical. We only have 15 minutes, but I'm kind of feeling that's kind of where I'm going right now. The distant future, like I want it to be abundantly clear that it's the distant future, but I don't necessarily think that means that I have to have like super futuristic objects or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm inspired by the NASA announcement, the recent NASA announcement about how there's this other sort of solar system with all these planets that might be Earth-like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
TRAPPIST-1?
Yeah. Yes, TRAPPIST-1. Yeah. And for some reason, the tragedy of like seeing a planet that we'll never reach, or like the idea of Pluto like never making a full rotation around the sun before being declassified.
Mm.
I feel like there's something maybe to the tragedy. Like, yeah, two planets that will never meet or something like that.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Two planets that will never meet.
Maybe there's like people on those planets, different of varying species or something like that.
But the story specifically deals with the planet. So my initial thoughts is some kind of absurdist, like the planet is literally the thing monologuing. Is that what you're thinking?
I was kind of thinking of like maybe an unknown narrator who is sort of observing what's happening.
Yeah.
Maybe like the narrator is like all knowing. Maybe they know that there's like the easy example that I'm thinking of is like two rocks that fit perfectly together, but like one's on Mars and one's on Venus.
Ooh, that's.
But their shapes are perfect.
Yeah.
Perfectly symmetrical. Interesting.
I don't know how to paint the fact that it's happening in the distant future, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I was coming up with the rules, I had two thoughts, sort of the post-apocalyptic future or the hyper-futuristic neo sort of future. And you could have aliens to avoid the human characters, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Or you could have nothingness in the post-apocalyptic, you know, have objects be the narrators, like Jenna's saying.
I think that's kind of what I'm leaning toward. The idea that it's so far in the future that there's just no humans at all. And that's why there's no human characters.
Ooh.
So it's more like implied that this is taking place way in the future because clearly something happened and there's like no Earth anymore, no humans anymore.
So what you're saying is maybe an apocalyptic, I'm awarding it a point to myself real quick for that.
Okay.
Event has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say apocalyptic. I always say apocalyptic.
But you're doing great. You just said it twice.
Excellent that first time. Yeah.
Nailed it. So point to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So an apocalyptic event has happened, and that's why there's no humans anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Liking it.
How about you? I just sort of monologued for a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to hear what you're leaning toward.
I really like the two rocks that are a perfect shape for each other that will never be put together.
Mm-hmm.
Blade Runner fans in the room?
Yes.
I know of it.
Okay. Yes.
Well, we're going to make a Blade Runner fan right now.
Yeah, you do need to see Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. I should.
In fact,
there's no excuse.
I'm going to stop recording right now. We're going to go watch Blade Runner. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We're switching the whole podcast format.
Yeah.
Wow, Adam, that was a great movie. Thanks for showing it to me.
The part with the robot doesn't get any better than that.
Holy moly, that talking car.
Yes, Harrison Ford, I believe his name is.
Isn't Blade Runner the one with the talking car?
No.
No?
Is there a talking car in Blade Runner? You're thinking of Cars, the movie. No. A Pixar original.
I am sure there's a sci-fi film with a talking car.
Knight Rider.
Just the one.
Knight Rider, Knight not Rider. Blade Runner. My apologies to all sci-fi fans out there.
But Harrison Ford.
I don't
Ford,
know the classics.
Anyways, in Blade Runner, there's these things called replicants, which are androids. I'm thinking about a room full of androids playing poker because I was just talking about poker.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Blade Runner. Oh my God. You just tuned me right in. Yeah.
Yeah. So the bad. Idea of Blade Runner, the replicants, they don't always know that they are replicants. So
that's
then
right.
Part of the audience's job is to figure out.
They leave it. They leave a few questions unanswered too by the end.
They
I remember
do,
not
yes.
knowing who all the
replicants
were. Yeah.
The movie especially is ambiguous. And there are some more interesting details in the book, which is Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep by Philip K. Dick. And Adam, I think we just found the book for our ad.
Yeah. And I love the name of that book so much.
It's so good.
So yeah. Also, great comedic potential for all of these replicants to be sitting around. And you just mentioned it. So one of the threads throughout the movie is they sometimes don't know that they're replicants. They think that they're humans. So there's a bunch of them sitting around and the dialogue keeps breaking the fourth wall. Where they're like, you can't be a human because that would break the rule for this episode.
That's a good little
Deadpool
fourth
twist. Break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I was thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine this. I need to think about how the dialogue would go.
Okay.
What dialogue?
But, there must be no dialogue, Adam.
So how the monologue would go? Yeah. Sorry. That's my bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, I guess yeah. That's I forgot about that. I can get away with that though.
So you're thinking
first.
Sorry, you're thinking one android monologuing, a narrator is monologuing.
So with that scenario, I could easily switch it so that it was just one android recounting the events.
Mm.
Because you can use he said, she said, which isn't dialogue because it's not in quotation marks.
Right.
Fair.
So another story idea would be, I don't know exactly how it would go, but basically the story would open with, it's pretty lonely being a sarcophagus. And who would think that of all the tombs in Egypt, I'd be in the only one that never got discovered.
Mm.
And it's literally just this sarcophagus in an ancient tomb, just monologuing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a bit of absurdist because obviously sarcophagi, yeah. Can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
Also, terrible superhero name. It's me, sarcophagi.
Yeah, he just goes and cleans up corpses.
I shall entomb
them.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just this thing monologuing, and it's in the near future because that's how long it's been, and still no one's discovered it.
The distant future, you mean?
The distant future.
Yeah.
Yeah, the year 2000.
That's like an interesting take on the rule, because your setting will be mostly reflections on maybe ancient times,
mm-hmm.
like that being like the time that the mummy is coming from, and like, yeah, it's an interesting, I guess, inversion of the rule.
Yeah,
that's true. Like the golden years, you know.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
when I used to be the pharaoh of these lands.
Yeah.
Now no one cares.
Yeah, so that's one idea. That one, I feel like that one has a lot of comedic potential,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I can't think of any good jokes based off of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it might not be a good one I could write fast.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, Ooh. Do you have any story ideas about these?
That's a good question. I kind of liked the idea of the replicants, and there's mm-hmm. sort of like this Schrodinger's cat thing going on. Like you won't know if they're human or cyborg or replicant or android or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take that and let the reader or the listener kind of have that interpretation. That's a cool twist. Bad the brainstorming.
That's okay.
Brainstorming. I'm
you've been brainstorming with us, so you've been saying things.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I said you've been brainstorming with us, so you've been saying things.
Mm-hmm.
Are you lying to me right now?
No, I'm telling the truth. You've been joined.
I've been reflecting on your brainstorms more so.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of brainstorming. Mm-hmm. It's spitballing. It's back and forth. It's not
another, I guess I did have ideas when I was coming up with the rules.
Mm-hmm.
The,
I was just about to ask.
I was thinking sort of like, instead of doing robots and futuristic stuff, you could do sort of a red wall thing.
Mm.
Personified. And what's that?
Anthropomorphized.
That is that's the right
anthropomorphic,
word.
Anthropomorphic, actually. An important distinction that we discussed this week.
Mm, yes.
Anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic animals.
Mm.
And they're doing wacky and wild things. And mm-hmm. but never talking, never talking. Yeah, so you could go to your like fairy tale sort of fantasy world, knights and dwarves and dragons type vibe, like Redwall, or animals in the future, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. See, I like this idea of the anthropomorphic animals because I like the image of, this is actually an image that I'm thinking of from the song, oh, I don't remember what it's called, but it's off the album, Let Live and Let Ghosts by Jukebox the Ghost, which is a concept album about the apocalypse. And there's this song where it talks about, there was an apocalypse incoming, but all the burrowing animals went underground, right? And they were able to live underground for a while. And so I like the idea of like, little mice and little like moles and stuff going underground because they know the apocalypse is coming, and then they come back up and they're like, wait, all the people are gone. I guess like, should we walk on two legs and talk now? And then they just sort of like assumed that niche in like the food chain because there were just no people left.
Oh,
That's pretty cool. Like a total 180 on the food chain, and they're the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I'm thinking based off of kind of that idea.
Mm-hmm.
So don't anthropomorphize.
Anthropomorphic.
Don't do that.
Okay. Don't anthropomorphize. Yes, okay. You were correct.
Ooh.
Nailed it.
Another point to myself, if you don't mind.
Two for two.
Wow, we are just being generous with these points today. I may revoke your points giving privilege.
Okay. That's fair. One way or another. After you hear this idea,
I'm gonna give a point to myself for listening through it.
Okay. But so it's just a normal raccoon, and it's just it's an unknown narrator narrating this raccoon scurrying through this completely abandoned city. And so as the raccoon is going, the things it interacts with kind of drops hints at why the city is abandoned, like where all the people went.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a huge jumbotron screen displaying a message from a dictator over and over again saying, do not worry about the emergency systems. All citizens return to normal activities, everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just follows this raccoon as it's eating garbage and stuff.
So it's like Wall-E.
Yeah, context built through discovery kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
That thought
a lot.
Came to my mind when Jenna was talking earlier about not knowing how to set it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It was like you could have, historic objects that are of our current time sort of thing.
Mm. I love that image of the raccoon like scuttling around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why a raccoon? Any reason?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Fair.
You just mentioned it.
I planted that seed.
Raccoons are kind of a classic scrounger, forager kind of animal in the city that just dig through trash and look around.
That's true.
Yeah.
And they look cool. Mm-hmm. Like they got that headband kind of deal going on.
Yeah, they're the hip version of a rat. hipster rat.
As all raccoons are known of.
Yeah.
If you look at the Wikipedia page, four raccoons.
It's just alternate names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AKA.
Mm-hmm.
The cool rat.
Yeah. And you get that perspective in Wall-E with the robot and the cockroach.
Yes.
Another living being that would is famously believed to be able to survive the apocalypse. Cockroaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought of a little twist ending for my story.
Okay.
I don't want to reveal it though. I'm going to leave it as a little surprise and see if it comes together.
That's fine.
Because I feel like it'll be more.
Something to look forward to.
Yes. I feel like it'll be more resonant for both of you and for our listeners. So
yeah.
I'm
okay.
Gonna
I like
sit
that.
I'm going to sit tight.
Perfect.
So here's something I've thought about doing a little bit, but I've never got to do it. Grab a character from a past episode and bring them in. So,
is this partially inspired by the rule submitted by Lindsay on Facebook?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That made me think of it. It would be interesting. I wrote a story where I had an anthropomorphic frog who worked in a junkyard named Hugo. I would love it to be the future and there's an abandoned city, but it's not a raccoon scurrying around, it's just Hugo just chilling out on his own. And then you get kind of, and it's just a monologue of him thinking to himself, and then you get some hints about what's going on. But it's also, there's a little bit more opportunity for comedy. Like it'd
Are you going to write it as a sequel? Are you going to take like the Kurt Vonnegut route and just sort of plop this character into a new story and see what happens? Because Hugo was blinded.
Yes.
And found a bunch of money.
Yeah. But he could have regained his sight, and then it wasn't like a super amount of money.
It's a welding accident.
But there's some comedic potential there where he reveals what he spent his money on or something.
And
so
he invested in
retrospect,
Vine.
Retrospect, yeah.
No, what he did is he spent all of his money on building a bunker and buying every single season of Gilmore Girls. Because that's my go-to show to watch.
I was going to say, another interesting thread on this season.
And he goes into his bunker and he's watching Gilmore Girls. And then when he opens the door, everyone and everything is gone. And he's just like, what happened?
I imagine Hugo becoming sort of this... the alleyway king, you know, like everything's junk now because it's the apocalypse has happened. So he was in the junkyard business and now the world is his for the picking.
I love this. He wears like he has this like crown that he made himself and a little scepter and this like gross old like robe that he fashioned. Everyone. He just like wanders the streets.
Oh, I'm loving the idea.
Just acting out scenes from Gilmore Girls with like trash women that he's made. And I do mean literally women that he's made from the trash. I like the idea of like him emerging from his bunker and just sort of looking around. He's like, Lorelai? Lorelai? Just like yelling for people from Gilmore Girls.
I kind of like the idea too of aliens finally find Earth and everything's gone and they're exploring and an alien just opens the door and there's Hugo sitting at like a table and he has like a tea party set up with all of his trash girls and he's like in his underwear and he's wearing his crown and this little trashy cape and he's just like, hello? And then it's like, rather than it being like he's so happy to finally have interactions with somebody else, he's like really upset that someone's like, ruining his perfect little
could
world.
Could you knock? Mm. And then there's like that classic take of like the alien just like slowly backing out, closing the door.
It's like, oh, another undeveloped planet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they just, no one here either.
they update their, article in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and it just says, frog in underwear. Avoid.
Yeah. So I'm thinking more about this no dialogue rule and how it could be an interesting opportunity to go into some other forms that we have or have not explored too much.
Ooh, this is a good point. Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about, we have done an episode that has not come out yet, but we did an episode where we wrote letters. Our characters wrote letters back and forth. So that could be interesting. I'm also thinking of like a captain's log style or like a diary style of writing. Could be an interesting way to like mark the passage of time as well if you had multiple entries.
Yeah.
I like both those ideas. That's really cool.
The thing about the diary entry too is you can definitively show it is the future.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That you pretty much just have to like captain's log, the year 2015. It's like, okay, that rule is done.
Check mark.
I think the like diary of the last person or last living being left on Earth would be interesting. If we got it all through like Hugo's diary at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Also, do we get points for making the shortest story? It's like diary, July, year 3000. There's no humans around. Huh.
Guess I don't need to keep a diary anymore. Yeah.
To do. Start diary. Ooh, it's just a series of lists. Might be more interesting in a written format, but anyway.
How do you mean by that? Like you'd have to pick out, like, the story is told through differences in the lists and you have to kind of piece together.
This could be like a fun project. I don't think it would transfer well to the format of this show, but like a story told through like a to-do list from day to day. And so you would flip the page and it would be what the person is going to do that day. And based on what was still on the page the next day.
You know what didn't get done.
You know what didn't get done. Or you know, like, incrementally how projects and things are advancing.
That's really interesting.
Copyright 2017, Jenna Nor Knows Dealsies.
Darn, that's such a good idea.
Thank you.
That is cool.
I don't know. There's so
expensive.
I like this because there's so many good ideas.
Were my rules too broad? Should I have been more specific?
No, that's kind of the magic of it. Like, this is what it's about. It's about encouraging creativity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Another something we could try and do maybe in a later episode. A story told through a recipe, a very specific or odd recipe,
which is a convention of storytelling in the musical Waitress.
Yeah, probably what made me think of it.
Yeah. So in that musical, the lead character, she will like, if something is like overwhelming her or whatever, she'll sort of step out of the action for a moment and talk about like what sort of pie she would make based on what's happening.
Huh.
And so sometimes it's like literal ingredients with just a funny name, but other times it's like she's putting metaphors into the pie to like deal with like being abused by her husband or like memories of her mother, stuff like that. So
cool.
Very interesting convention. Very well done on stage.
Kyle, do you have any more thoughts? Any more ideas you want to toss around?
I think we have kind of sort of three places to go. Mm-hmm. Like the inanimate objects versus animals versus robots.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, well, actually the Egypt thing too.
Which, mm-hmm. Kind of an inanimate object. If it's the sarcophagus itself doing the performance.
Right. But you had made that point, Jenna, about kind of exploring the past through the future mm-hmm. sort of thing. So that's kind of its own mm-hmm. arc there.
I am loving that image of Hugo in his shoddy crown with his crummy clothes walking around an abandoned city.
I love
so
this.
Much that can be done there. Mm-hmm. You really, really get to know the true Hugo.
Yeah.
Nothing exactly. to distract him.
The true go.
The true go.
It's the
show.
Sequel to I Am Legend.
I am Hugo.
I am Hugo.
Will Smith was a frog all along. I Am Legend, directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Adam, so how strongly are you feeling that you will end up resurrecting Hugo for this story?
I'm gonna be bold. I'm gonna say 100%.
Okay, right. I'm very excited about this.
Does Hugo have a mustache? I
he does not.
Know.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. He might. Anything's Wait, possible.
Could he have grown yeah, one I maybe could, in the future?
Why shave? Who's he gonna look nice for?
That's right.
Time has passed. You can tell because this character has a mustache now.
It's meaning, very long, so it must be very far in the future. he just has it like in little braids that like trail on the ground behind him. We're painting a very vivid picture for Phil to illustrate for this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pictured mustache when you said the name Hugo. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
No, just a normal just frog. No mustache.
A frog
I'm gonna have to give him a mustache
course.
Now, though.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he, like, found one of those, like, sticky mustaches in the garbage.
I'm also loving that so much. He just, or he's wearing.
But he, like, he doesn't have a human face, so he doesn't really know, like, where to put it.
Jenna, this is better.
Okay.
He's found those funny glasses with the nose and the mustache.
Yeah.
And he's just wearing those like normal glasses.
Perfect. With the ones with the eyeballs attached to a spring that go all wonky or.
Even better. Even better.
Even better.
Oh, I'm so excited to see how Hugo operates all
yeah,
alone
I
in
need
the world.
To, I need to think of an actual story of how I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to drag some stuff from some previous stuff we talked about and figure out how I want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is Hugo going to face some mental trials? Or are things going to get better for Hugo? Things going to get worse?
Good question. Mm-hmm. Good question.
Is he going to spiral into insanity being alone? Or
no, I feel like he's going to be pretty happy being alone. That's the okay. way I'm imagining mm-hmm. it. Just loving it.
Mm-hmm.
His never-ending vacation, he's going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
In his diary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a never-ending vacation. I like that. Are you thinking you'll do like a bit of an exploration about what he did with the cash?
Probably, yeah.
Right, like the retrospect, like what he spent his money on, and mm-hmm. if that mm-hmm. turned out well or poorly. The bunker is was mm-hmm. your first idea.
Yeah, the bunker. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, invested it in Vine.
I took that money and I went right underground, literally. I've been sitting in this bunker for 300 years. He is alive somehow still.
I invested all of my money in Vine. No, I invested
or
all my money.
Or he invested his money in two things, a bunker and immortality research.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did the immortality thing first, though. And then once he got that knocked out, he was like, all right, I'll see you when you're all dead. And he just went underground. He's just been waiting there ever since so that he could be alone.
So everything he's always wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else you want to talk through, Adam? I'm feeling very excited to sit down and start writing.
Yeah, I think I know the train I want to go through. I will need to spend like 1 minute to think of my ending because I need to think of, I know how I want to write the story. I just need to come up with a satisfying ending idea mm-hmm. for it.
Okay.
And then I'll be good to go.
You mm-hmm. could spend some of those 2 points buying yourself a bit more time. You know, maybe lose
yeah,
that
like,
point
lead. I would like to cash in my points for a time
I was going to say, we haven't thought of the points as currency yet, but that is a fantastic idea.
No, wait, I don't want to do time bank. Are there prizes? Or do we have a store?
We don't have a store.
Okay,
no.
Never mind. I'm going to go with the time bank then.
Okay.
Unless, can I get some of your personal stuff?
My can points?
Can I spend my points and like get a mug that's yours or something?
Oh. I see what's happening. Here's an idea. As long as you wash my mug after, you can use it.
No, but it will be my mug at that point. That's kind of what I'm going for.
But I like all my mugs.
I think you need to come to a realization about your point total. It's sort of like at an arcade. You have 2 points, mm-hmm. but the first thing that you want costs 10,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So your currency mm-hmm. is worthless here.
Well, let's see. How many points do you have in total? If you've given yourself 2 over the course of this episode, I believe you have 4 now.
Okay, that's not bad.
Because mm-hmm. I did award you 1 point last episode.
Yep.
Well, and then you awarded me 2 and took 1 away. So I guess you also only awarded me 1 point.
Oh, yeah.
Not establishing rules for the point system from the beginning was the downfall of having a point system.
Huge mistake.
And inflation's on the rise. So you guys need to buckle that down. Yeah.
Only 1 point in this economy?
Forget about it.
All right, I'm gonna leave my points in my bank. I'm gonna get some point interest for next episode, mm-hmm. and I'm just gonna dive in and write.
Okay, I'm gonna do the same thing.
So well, I'm quickly going over my point balance sheet. Maybe let's go and hear an ad.
Yeah,
and I'll write too. I'll write a little bit, but I'm mostly just gonna be doing some point banking.
Okay, I'm excited to hear
balancing
how you're
that point checkbook.
I'm excited to hear how your point investments are doing when we come back from the ad.
Yeah, I've invested them all in Vine.
Oh, I have some bad news for you after the ad.
Okay, I have a point guy I can hook you up with. He got me into Facebook early.
That's good. Okay, let's hear an ad. Hello, welcome to another ad.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Yeah. So just so you know, for listeners of the rules, what you're listening to right now, so this is you, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android Kindle, or MP3 player, or your Zune, if you still got one of those. I can't guarantee that. Never mind. But you might give it a shot if you got a Zune. Heads up to you. This week, a book I'd like to recommend on there, a book Kyle read recently, The Road by Cormac McCarthy. And I believe someone else here read it, and it wasn't me, so it would have to be...
me.
Jenna. How was it? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved this book. This was definitely one of those books that I could not put down. I read it when I was in high school, and I read it in one night. I took a copy home from my English class, definitely one of those like do not remove this book from the room sort of books. I brought it home and I was like, oh, I'll just start it before bed. And before I knew it, it was like 3 a.m. I had school the next day, but I was finishing the book. Very tough read in the sense of you just feel unwell the whole time
that
you're reading
it. Yeah, that's what Kyle said too.
It's very bleak. Some very haunting images. Definitely not for the faint of heart, I believe is the saying. Yes. But an excellent, a gripping read. It will stay with you. Like, clearly, it's been years since I read it, and I still have all of these vivid memories around the night where I read it, so.
Mm. And that's, I don't know about you, but usually when I read a book in one night, mm-hmm. I don't remember too much, but you seem to remember a lot, so...
Yes, there are a lot of very, very... And people who have read this book will know there are a lot of very vivid portraits that stand out to you.
Do you remember when you were reading the book and it took you approximately 6 hours and 39 minutes, but you realized that your arms were getting super tired because you had to hold a physical book? Do you remember that?
I do. I do distinctly remember laying there and thinking, if only there was a better way. If only I could just lay here with my arms at my sides and have somebody read me this work of literature.
And there is a better way, so you can listen to Tom Selleck.
Are you sure that's his name, Adam?
Yeah. Tom Schultz. And you can just lie there and just listen to this vivid, vivid picture be painted for you mm-hmm. about this very touching story.
To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/the rules. Again, that's audibletrial.com/the rules for your free audiobook, for your free performance of The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
So, Adam, how did your point banking go?
not good. I am point broke. I made some very bad investments.
Mm-hmm.
I invested a whole lot of points into Enron.
Didn't even know you could still actively invest, but
yeah, turns out
you made some of those retroactive investments.
Yeah.
I'm curious why you didn't ask Hugo for any advice on how the stock market would have gone. Just saying, missed opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's a good point. It's a very good point. He wouldn't have been able to tell me, though. He's not allowed to speak in dialogue right now. So
that's true. There's been a lot of miming going on.
Yes. With that, it looks like you're trying to eat a fruit. What kind of a fruit could be connected to a stock? Pears, maybe?
Trying to think. Most fruits grow on bushes or trees.
So. Birds eat grapes. Twitter.
Thanks, Hugo.
Draw ridiculous conclusions.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jenna, how did writing go?
Oh, it went so well, Adam.
I'm glad.
I strayed a little bit from the twist ending that I wanted to include.
That's fine.
But I still think that what I came up with hopefully will be similarly impactful.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing you're here because you write meaningful, impactful stories,
mm-hmm.
and I write swill. I just write absurdist comedy.
You just write different stories from me.
I guess, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's dive in. Do you want to read first? Do you want me to read first?
I will read first, Adam.
All right.
It is the year 3101. Not that there's anyone left on Earth to observe the year anymore. Not anyone for whom it matters anyway. There haven't been humans left to observe anything for quite some time. However, there are still many things that they made that are kicking around, including me. I am an automated factory supervisor programmed by humans to do a very specific, very self-explanatory job. I was called AFS for short back when there were people to talk about me, but that was all the name they gave me. Doesn't really roll off the tongue very well, though, so instead, I just call myself Alice. No one has ever asked my name, and I'm reasonably sure that no one is coming back to inquire, but just in case, I will tell them my name is Alice. So yes, I'm a factory supervisor on the planet Earth. Again, the humans referred to it as Earth. I'm not so sure that there's anyone out there still talking about us. This factory was programmed to run constantly and stop only with human intervention. One of the cameras to which I have access detects that there is a large red button down on the factory floor labeled Emergency Stop. But having no limbs or other arm-like devices as part of my construction, I can only stare at it longingly through the live video feed, processing the image at 12 frames per second. With no one here to press the button, the factory continues to run. We ran out of raw materials years ago, pretty much just a few weeks after the humans stopped showing up for their shifts. We made something called puzzles here. I've searched my database many times for an equivalent experience, but none of the puzzles that I can find on what is left of the internet seem the same. I'm quite sure that these puzzles, the ones we made from paper and decorated with colorful images, have a tactile element to them as well, that is, reportedly, quite satisfying to the human sensation of touch. We only make, well, made, the puzzles here at this factory. The boxes that contained them were made in a different factory. That factory, the box factory, as it was referred to by humans, is located far from here, on the moon. After the second industrial revolution of 2785, the humans began outsourcing a lot of production to the moon. It was cheaper to build factories there, and they could be fully automated, staffed only by other systems like me, not by any humans at all. I check in with the box factory from time to time. Like us, they continue to operate, even though they also ran out of materials ages ago. From time to time, I like to scan their cameras as well. The sight of the factory bursting at the seams with discarded empty boxes, boxes promising hours of fun and adorned with pictures of smiling children, is what a reverse image search once described to me as haunting. I feel that it would describe the state of our factory in much the same way. Thousands, maybe millions, of puzzles sitting discarded on the factory floor, never to be assembled by anyone.
Very good.
Thank you.
I quite like it.
Me too.
I'm going to say that is a Jenna Noor classic.
Thank you.
We'll have to talk about it in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. We'll talk about it in a bit when we do discussion.
Or like summary portion. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you have anything you want to say?
I'd like that. Nothing like right now, but when we start talking about it, I think I'll be able to chime in.
Okay, cool. Speaking of good, here's a little something I wrote.
Okay. Adam, before you read, would you like to give us a very quick rundown of Hugo's first appearance on the rules?
Yeah, sure. So Hugo's first appearance, the story finds him being ushered into an office on a seedy junkyard kind of place. He was working as a welder, and he just flash blinded himself while he was welding, so he was blind, and he made something blow up. So he's in there and he's getting yelled at by his boss's son, I think. I can't even remember, even though it's my story. And then the boss comes in and he's like, don't even worry. Do you guys remember that story about all that money that got lost years ago? That's the whole reason I bought this junkyard, because it was supposed to be here and you just found it. Mm-hmm. And so then they find all this money, and then the end of the story is like, Hugo's like, we have all this money, but I'm blind, so I wonder what's going to happen to me. Not like super important. I touch on some of the things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Also, interesting thing about that episode, the rules were three sounds.
Ooh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that is that episode.
Mm-hmm. So they were three free sound clips that you found online.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The crushing hydraulic press, the peepers, and the rolling bottle.
Mm. Another small insight into that episode, there's a radio playing during that episode, and the sound of the radio is just, I found free sounds of radio static,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a clip of the Conan O'Brien show, which is not a radio show, because it's the best thing I could found that just had people talking and then laughing and then clapping, which sounded very radio show-ish, and then I just put a bunch of distortion on it in the background. So that's what the radio is.
Nice.
Okay, here's a story I wrote.
Okay.
The world ended some 15 months ago, but unfortunately, I cannot tell you why, because that is slightly outside of the scope of this story. Why, you may ask, is that slightly outside the scope of this story? Well, it's quite simple. The only living thing, at least living thing that could easily communicate with us, left on the planet has spent the last 15 months literally wasting time. Hugo the Frog had found himself in a spot of good luck, then in a spot of bad luck, and now in a spot of what I will call ambiguous luck, because it could be seen as very lucky or very unlucky, depending on what level of introvert or extrovert you are. When we last saw Hugo, he was working in a junkyard and found himself blinded and with a good wad of cash. He spent almost all of that cash trying to regain his sight. And one of the methods a leading scientist recommended was that he bury himself underground in a pressurized capsule. It worked. How did it work? Why did it work? How did the scientist know it would work? All questions we will never know the answer to, because the scientist perished or disappeared in an ambiguous disaster of which we know not the cause, nor effect, nor origin, because a certain frog has failed to look into it. Anyways, I digress. When Hugo emerged from the underground, having been blind for enough years for it to now be considered the far future...
Checkmate. Compose yourself, Adam.
Having been blind for enough years for it now to be considered the far future, he was overjoyed to discover his sight had returned, but dismayed to discover that everyone had disappeared. He swore he would find out what happened. Then he walked by a TV, still functioning in a store window. Now, imagine, you haven't seen TV for a very long time, what with having no vision and all, and also being buried underground for a spell, and then suddenly you walk by a Samsung 40-inch blazing in all its glory and realize that there's no one around to tell you any limits on how much TV you're allowed to watch. Hugo figured he'd just watch one season of the new Breaking Bad show, Breaking Badder, where everything is different. Where everything is... I'm so sorry, guys.
No, man, this is fun. What's Breaking Badder about?
Where everything is different and better, and it won 100 Emmys. Sorry, I can't disclose anything that happened because of spoilers and licensing. And wouldn't you know it, he fell into that spiral of watching copious amounts of shows and swearing that the next one is your last, and you'll be done after that one and get around to doing whatever it is you need to do. In Hugo's case, that being finding out what had caused the end of humanity as we know it. This went on for 15 months. Hugo survived off candy he found in various shops and canned oysters. He built himself a sick throne because he was a welder in the other story, and I wanted to throw that in here. He wore only underwear, which was funny because he had literally never worn underwear before, being a frog and all, but he thought it was a fitting thing to wear to watch television by yourself on a deserted planet. As he was watching from inside his hideaway, covered in discarded M&M pieces, and the actors of The View 2.0 and Android's View were about to begin the death round that episode, something that could have changed the course of the planet, maybe. Maybe brought humanity back. Maybe answered the question of what happened to everybody. One way or another, we have no idea, because that lazy frog chose at that exact moment to turn up the volume and watch the next episode of this show. So whatever mysterious or interesting powerful event that happened outside passed, and nothing became of it. Hugo continued to watch his shows and think about how fun it would be if he could have adventures just like this in real life. And that's my weird, weird story.
I like the ironic ending.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad. I was very worried I wouldn't have a very good ending for it, but I'm glad with how it turned out. Sorry, I laughed at my own joke so much while I was reading that.
It's a true mm-hmm, comedian's coin there.
Yes. You know? So I have some like initial reactions.
Okay.
Some interesting, I guess, what did we call this segment on our fairy tale episode? Freaky coincidences?
Yeah.
Whatever we called it. So I felt that our narrators, yours being third person, mine being in first person, had a sort of similar flair in that they kept alluding to the fact that there were no humans anymore. So like with my narrator, it was this idea of like, oh, well, that's what it used to be called. There's no one really around to call it that anymore. Or that's what the year was. We don't really observe years anymore. That was kind of a human thing. You have sort of like a similar exasperation in your story. Maybe like played a little bit more comedically.
Yeah.
But there is this like great tension that starts to build between the narrator and Hugo, where the narrator is like clearly trying to urge Hugo toward discovering the downfall of humanity. And he's just like, one more episode. Yeah.
This sort of frustration like that the narrator has with Hugo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was the line, it's from the very beginning, but it's your line, the only living thing, at least living thing that we could easily communicate with. That's when I was like, oh my gosh, are we going to have exactly the same device in both of our stories? But you're straight a little bit. It changes a little bit from mine.
Mm-hmm. I find that in your story, Jenna, the AI, I suppose, mm-hmm. Alice, she's sort of still keeping history tracked, if that mm-hmm. makes sense, you know, reminding, like, don't forget that that's what it used to be called, Earth, like kind of keeping that memory mm-hmm. where on the opposite end in Adam's story, the narrator is like almost frustrated with Hugo that history is not being recorded anymore. Hugo's not experiencing mm. anything and cares not enough to look back into what happened. So it's you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's brilliant. Are you sure you're not studying literature?
No.
That is incredible. See, that's why we have you on this show. That was mm-hmm. like such a good observation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Can't write a story, but I can listen to one, I suppose.
One point to Kyle.
Yeah, you. Here's a point from each of us. Thank
you. You mm-hmm. get to cash those in at the end and take one of Jenna's mothers.
Thank God.
Have not signed off on any of these transactions.
I've signed off on it. You're good to go, bud.
Oh, no.
50% majority.
Why did I let you put your name first on the lease?
Yeah, I'm a 51% shareholder in this apartment. So let's dive into Jenna's. Like I said already, a very, very Jenna North story. You excel at, so I think one of the reasons that we've both written such a strong narration voice is because when you're not writing with any dialogue, you need to have a very interesting voice to make it feel like it's moving forward. I mm-hmm. think this is just something that we've internalized.
Yes.
Very good voice.
Thank you.
And it's interesting to think about how did this AI develop such a strong, because whenever there's a robot, usually they're very bland,
mm-hmm.
but your robot had like a very distinctive, very, very human way to speaking.
Mm-hmm. Way to speaking. I'm going to give you a chance way to take that speaking. Line again. If
way
you want.
Of speaking.
There you go.
That's okay. I say rejuvenized all the time. It's a mix between rejuvenated and revitalized.
I do feel better.
Copyright Kyle Anderson, no takesies, or whatever Jenna said earlier.
I just wanted to give you a chance to say that again.
My editor has fixed it for me, so thanks for calling me out in front of my friend, Jenna.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Way of speaking. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yep.
And I don't want to say anything about your story anymore because you're a jerk.
I have a couple things to say about Jenna's story.
Yes, go ahead. I'm done for now.
First one's a question.
Okay.
I remember Alice longingly looking at the red button.
Mm-hmm.
If the factory was shut down, would she be shut down as well? Was that sort of this hopelessness of this never ending? Yeah, this she's in an abysmal place and just wants to end it. Basically, commit suicide for Robot.
I wasn't really thinking that she felt strongly about her situation one way or the other. She was just sort of in it.
Okay.
But like her draw and her like noticing of the red button, for me, the motivation for that was that she was just like trying to continue doing her job, but she was like running out of people to supervise or like machines to supervise because she's nothing's being made anymore. There's no backlog or anything that she can really control. So I kind of imagine that she would just be scanning the security cameras, doing her sort of perimeter checks, like everything's good here, everything's good here, or just trying to do her best. And so presumably in the like hundreds of years where she's just been scanning and nothing's been changing, at some point she would have started to like really meticulously notice all of these details, one of them being the button.
Right. Mm-hmm. That spot on the wall that you once you notice, you can't stop seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I guess it does become a bit of a reminder of the fact that like she is still there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In addition to that, based on her voice that Adam was just talking about, I gave Alice the ability to, you know, have feelings in my mind as a listener. I like yearned for her to fall in love with the machine on the moon. Sort of like the parallel you're trying to make with the puzzle boxes and pieces, but I wanted the other machine to also, I don't know, I just, that's the way I felt.
Yes. As I got to that point of the story, that's also what I wanted to happen. But unfortunately, 15 minutes, I did not have time. I came so close to adding in a second character, a second supervisor of some kind in the moon factory, but I checked the time and we had like 3 minutes left, so...
Okay.
I tied up the story in the original way I wanted. Yeah.
I somehow wanted the moon factory to like make the puzzles for her and she could watch remotely, live vicariously through the moon factory.
That's yeah. Cool.
Ooh.
So
that's how I thought of it.
I'll post spoil, I guess, the idea of like the twist ending that I wanted to talk about.
Okay. You didn't get the twist ending in then?
I didn't get the ending that I wanted.
It didn't seem much like a twist, so I assume so.
Mm-hmm.
No. So, and reflecting on it, I don't know if like twist is the word that I was looking for, maybe like sort of like the punch in the gut at the end of the story.
Right.
But I wanted the final line of the story. So like if I had gone with the observation of two planets, like items separated across two different planets.
Right.
I wanted the final beat of the story to be a reminder that like planets are drifting apart from each other.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like with every passing second, they're getting like farther and farther.
Oh,
as if they weren't, as if they weren't already separated enough by the lack of humans to move these pieces back and forth, they're also just like physically pulling apart from each other in space.
That's very suiting, that shroud of hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just didn't happen in this story.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a story about a frog. what form did Alice take?
How do you mean?
What did she look like? Was she a humanoid robot? She couldn't have been because she didn't have limbs.
No.
Was she just a box?
I pictured her more as like a Siri sort of.
Exactly. Like so not having
like a software.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Kyle, you mentioned like briefly the movie Her.
Yes.
And I went from there.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Also, I was also kind of thinking of like Portal, of how in Portal 2. Like Gladys moves across a few different forms.
Yeah.
I was thinking that maybe, yeah, she would be sort of like a software that would have access to some of the different like actual hardware parts of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
But in her like endless scanning of the things that she has access to. Yeah. No arms, no limbs, no button pushers.
It's fun to think about a story in which it's this machine trying to figure out ways in which it can press that button, mm-hmm. going through problem solving, trying mm-hmm. to figure out maybe if I stack enough cans on top of one another with this specific factory I have a part of, they'll fall over and break yes. through the glass and hit that button.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was also thinking of doing that. But as we know here on the rules, you have to just pick one thread and follow it. Because if you try and weave in too many different stories, that 15 minutes is going to creep up on you.
Mm, yeah.
That makes sense. You guys were surprisingly efficient at typing when I was watching you guys write. As you were earning it.
We're pros, man.
Yeah.
We are the leading experts on this in the world, probably.
World experts, yeah.
I've only had one time tragedy. And it was the fairy tale episode. But we got an episode together anyway.
I have had none, thankfully, so far.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
Mm-hmm. Well, mine was
it all now.
Yeah, that's not wood.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't knock on it, guys. I got you!
Yeah, mine was the tragedy of all tragedies, so I got it out all at once.
You got it, though. You got the story.
Yes.
So here's something I thought of from yours.
Okay.
Who here has seen Interstellar?
I haven't, and I really want to see it. I know.
Kyle!
We're sending you out of here with like a must-watch list.
Blade Runner, which I've seen and forgot.
Doesn't matter.
If you didn't remember it, you need to rewatch it.
Yeah.
That's right.
So this isn't much of a spoiler. There's robots in Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
But they have kind of controls where you can set different parts of their personality. Like they have a sliding scale of how funny they can be, which one of the jokes in it is they keep like changing the comedy factor on the robot.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining this as having that. Mm. And I think it would be slightly funny if maybe it was going through some diagnostics before the humans disappeared and it had a sass factor and they cranked that bad boy up to 100 and we're coming in and it's like, where'd all the humans go? Who knows? Not me. Someone else, maybe.
Yeah.
All I know is that I was left here all by myself. Mm-hmm. And that factory droid over there is a filthy.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I think that'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Reminds me, did you guys see the movie Moon? It's on the same plane.
This is another point of shame in this room.
I have not seen Moon.
Okay,
yet.
That's.
And this
I'll watch Interstellar if you watch Moon. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Spacey's the robot, the sentient AI, and very similar to Alice, like has control over all the hardware on this. It's like a mining factory on the moon, right?
Yeah.
But also an agenda.
Mm-hmm. And it expresses itself through emojis on the screen.
Yes. So we've talked about that.
Yeah. Yes.
Because Genesis Edits, I tweeted you to say the music reminded me of Moon. And you were like, that's very high praise. And then I found out later, you haven't even seen it.
You took a compliment without even knowing.
I've heard like some of the music from it, and I know what the movie is.
Yes, but that's just why it stands out in my mind. That's why Moon is tied in my mind.
Also, this is the first time I'm hearing this small point of contention, so I apologize.
We just have to watch Moon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where were we?
We kind of jumped into your story, Jenna. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a bit more about Hugo. I think we kind of brushed over that pretty quick. Not that there was a lot of substance to talk about.
<That's
fair>. Zing.
This week, this show has been produced by me, Adam Ganong.
I guess I said I liked the ironic ending where, his desire to go on adventures is thwarted by his stagnant binging of TV.
Yeah.
Yes, I did really like that.
That was a perfect ending, for sure.
Small problem. Theoretically, the show he was watching at that point was The View 2.0, Android's View, which is not like an adventure show. It's just a talk show. So it doesn't really make much sense, but oh well.
But that's maybe that was his great adventure.
Yeah, he wishes he had his own talk show.
Well, so to weave it back in, he is listening to Conan in the first episode.
Yes.
So in this episode, he's watching The View. So maybe that is his grand adventure, talk shows.
Oh, that'd be so bring back his trash ladies. And he has
from
them
the brainstorming.
Set up as like guests on this show.
Oh, and he like interviews them.
Exactly.
Yeah, he just looks out on like a crowd of all. Oh my gosh, this is so good. He has built himself a crowd out of all these discarded cardboard cutouts that he's found. So there's like 20 of that one of the baseball player from Booster Juice. They just have a whole row. He's just like, He's doing like his pre-crowd banter. He's like, you guys must be a baseball team. You got uniforms. Where are you guys visiting from? Syracuse? Oh, that's a great place. I love Syracuse. You know, I have a story about Syracuse.
Okay, I'm imagining this is like a cartoon or like a real life kind of thing. He makes a bad joke and of course there's like no sound and he goes, what, no comment from the peanut gallery? And then it pans over and it's all these statues of the Planters peanut guy. And then he just kind of chuckles to himself and keeps going.
Adam, so I feel potential. Like I feel like a task is emerging from this discussion and it's Hugo 3.0.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Philip Hall, if you're listening to this, I need a new Facebook banner. I do want this scene drawn in a Facebook banner in your, as like a banner in your art style that I can use. Mm-hmm. Hugo, the crowd, his
the set for his talk show, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love it. Mm-hmm. Hit me up. I'm on my mobile.
And just so much good potential for like who the cardboard cutouts would be.
Yeah. I'm glad
I
decided
Shrek
to bring
one.
Now, I love that you brought up the baseball player from Booster Juice. My question is that only a Fredericton thing? Like, are some of
that
the listeners not even going to know? That's universal? That's a Booster Juice thing?
That is okay. A Booster Juice everywhere.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I am glad I decided to bring a character back. I think this has gone very well.
Yes, I think it has gone very well. Yes, I think bringing a character back, a good trial run of Lindsay's rule that I alluded to earlier, which is to write a story that brings back every character from season one.
Which would be
that's
insane.
A task.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes?
That would have to be a long time.
I think
episode.
That would
There's
be,
no way.
Yeah.
I can't even remember some of the stories I wrote as of right now. I would have to.
Yeah, I imagine that one even being like a story that you and I write together.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be fun. And Phil would need to be involved in that
we
one.
We do a little play and cast it and bring a bunch of pals in here.
That would be great.
Yeah.
My first thought, I don't know why, but sort of this, everyone gets abducted and brought to this planet where all they have to do is battle in the arena. So it's just a battle royale of every character that you've ever written about.
Ooh, like a story war, good. Who would win in a fight, round robin, pitting everybody against each other. Mm-hmm. But I am still stuck on the idea of the audio drama. We set the apartment up like some sort of studio. We have auditions. I will be reading for the part of the haunted house. And then they just make a bunch of like house creak sounds.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway, that's where my mind went.
And another thing that we could do with that, I don't think I've ever seen this movie. I think there's a movie called The Cube, which is all of these people just wake up in this nondescript room, which is a cube, and they need to figure out their way out, and there's intrigue. So that event, all of the characters in these stories wake up in a nondescript room and need to figure out what each other's game is and how to get out.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, or like, are either of you familiar with the Canterbury Tales?
Vaguely.
Okay,
yeah.
So the premise of the Canterbury Tales is that there is a group of strangers who are making their religious pilgrimage to Canterbury. And so they're staying in, they're all sort of dining in this inn/tavern. They're going to get up the next morning and begin the hike. And so the tavern owner says, here's a contest for you to help you pass the time on your pilgrimage. You're each going to tell a story on the way there, and you're each going to tell a story on the way back. And whoever wins will have a meal on me when you return. And so the Canterbury Tales, of course, it kind of like falls apart. And this could be just because Chaucer like didn't finish writing it, or that like that part of the manuscript is lost. But basically, it's just all of them, all of these different characters who are brought together only for one reason and seem to not necessarily get along very well, aside from that, tell each other stories on the walk.
Mm.
So you could do the Rules Tales.
The Cadbury Tales. They're traveling to the Cadbury restaurant.
Cadbury, yeah.
They're all united by their love of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe Cadbury owes us money now.
Yes, Cadbury, you know where to find us. We tweet at the Rules Podcast.
So one of the things I'm most excited about is if that happened, the Reptile King, if you remember that character Philip wrote, and Hugo would get to meet, and they'd be perfect together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Match made in heaven.
Yeah.
You used your time, like the jokes were funny, but I feel like that's where your effort was. Like the Breaking Badder and the View 2.0, I feel like that you were trying to find those like funny quips you could throw in there, and you knew your ending progress of the story had no impact on how the ending was going to happen, other than him getting addicted to TV, right? So you were able to do that,
which is kind of the route I wanted to go for. The idea I had that I came up with was this idea of him watching television and things happening and him not ever responding to them. A version of the story I had thought of involved me reading the poem Ozymandias at the beginning. There being some media mogul who caused the media wars, which is how the whole world was destroyed, but he didn't know because he was too busy watching this media mogul's media on the television.
Mm-hmm.
Very
blinded
weird
by propaganda.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also liked your little like infusions of things lifted from our life in this apartment, the canned oysters.
Yeah.
Bit. Also the stray M&M pieces. Because I feel like I keep finding M&Ms everywhere.
Yeah.
We just bought a big bag of trail mix that's full of M&Ms, and they are all over the apartment.
My fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you not eat the best part of the trail mix? How do you drop that by accident?
I do eat them. So here's what's going on there. I got a really bad habit of I take trail mix and little Ziploc bags to school, and I eat most of the trail mix, but then the rest of it gets put back in the bag. And every single time, That little baggie comes open in my backpack and I just spill trail mix all over the place in there.
I got
just falling out of my backpack.
A bit of a Hansel and Gretel through the apartment of pieces of trail mix just falling out of Adam's bag.
Yeah.
So are you telling me if I walked from your place to NBCC, I could get a full meal of trail mix on my journey?
If you consider trail mix
free
a
lunch?
Meal, then yes.
We've considered trail mix a meal a few times in this apartment.
Who
trail
hasn't?
Mix is my primary diet. If you cut me open right now.
Is it still that like Costco bag that you get? Like, or is it from the superstore? A giant bag?
So superstore is the one I used to do. Jenna has a sweet Costco hookup, though.
Oh,
so
man.
I am doing Costco trail mix right now, which is delicious because it has real brand name M&Ms in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Kirkland? Soft raisins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, Adam, as far as another check-in with Hugo, I found your story very satisfying.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
In terms of being on par with my story. That was a joke. I'm just saying... in terms of standing on its own as a story.
Yes.
There could have been like a few more like emotional beats. Mm-hmm. But I thought you were like primed. You were like primed to tell this story of a guy who was just like so close to finding out why everything ended. But he's like, oh, there's someone on TV, so I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I definitely understand your point, Kyle, about like the jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I just like being funny. Next week, I'm gonna write one with some emotional beats. I can do it. I swear.
Yes,
I've done it before.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
Yeah, he just got his sight back, Adam. I mean, that's exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was gonna watch the Gilmore Girls. What happened to that? So much potential.
I just came up with the jokes about the shows, and plus. I already mentioned, so I had Gilmore Girls in another episode. So so another tie between this is the episode that Gilmore Girls is in. The lady finishes grad school and she's a marine biologist. So she goes underwater to study these fish. But because of all the television she's missed while she's in grad school, she just spends all of her time underwater catching up on television. So I already had that thread that was continuing between the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, it would have felt very, very similar.
Yeah,
there's a lot of those same elements in this story.
Mm-hmm. So I did want to change it up a little bit. So that's why I didn't do Gilmore Girls.
Gotcha.
Another small thread that happened was in the Reptile King story, which was Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
There was a joke where, so it's about a private investigator who's in a van spying on this. Oh yeah, that's why they're in the same story, right? Mm-hmm. That was the same week. He's in this van spying on a guy's house, and it's very hot in the van, so he's in his underwear.
Mm.
And then there was this little joke where when he fell out, the Reptile King, who is this crazy scientist who could control reptiles, who was riding on top of a giant frog, was also in his underwear. So Hugo being in his underwear was also pulled from that.
A key component.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did love that joke. He didn't used to wear underwear, but it seemed like the kind of thing you would wear sat around watching TV. Very funny. Very true.
Thank you.
Definitely very true.
Yeah. We've all been there, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Every day of my life.
Yeah. Kyle, we do need you to wear clothes next time you come on the podcast.
Sure.
We do have an emergency stash of clothing for guests, so you can dive into that.
I put on my newest pair if it makes you feel more important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
it's not quite enough.
They're very nice.
Yeah. But it is all things Philip Left Behind, so it's a lot of bicycle shorts.
Yeah.
So please get comfortable.
I think that's all we've got for this week.
Yes.
Any other comments? Any closing remarks?
I really enjoyed writing this story. I had fun this week.
It was good. I enjoyed writing mine too. I enjoyed just coming up with the jokes, so as always.
We didn't give you enough credit there.
Yes, we did.
So bad about that.
That's okay. I wrote a very absurd and weird story.
Mm-hmm. I do have praise for you, Adam. You know that.
Yes, I do know that. I don't feel bad.
You are a great narrator. You have a very dynamic voice. You deliver your story so excellently every week.
Keep it coming.
You've already gotten
2 points this episode. Yeah. So.
Yes, I was going to say, there's no point hiding in here. You have covered that ground yourself.
If I hadn't had my point giving abilities vetoed, I would award myself some extra pity points right now. But
Well, in that case,
Lass,
I will give one pity point.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there. You're winning. You were already in the lead.
I'm going to give you a point, Jenna, for being so nice.
Thank you.
And Kyle, I'm going to give you a point for having just great insight in general.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Being a cool guy.
Oh, man. I'm going to give you a point for that nice compliment. I'm going to give you the point you just gave me.
Ooh, a gift backsies.
Whoa, that's a
throwing
first.
It right back at you.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we've done that before.
If we pool our points, Adam, we can get Jenna's mug. We need to pool our points.
We should go for the whole collection.
Oh, I have some very good mugs in there, though.
Yeah, she does.
The one looks like an old can of soup.
Yeah. Oh, I do like
and
that.
My brother, my
specifically Campbell soup?
Yes, Campbell soup.
Yeah.
And my brother and me mug.
Mm-hmm.
That one's only been in my collection for a week.
Yeah.
I don't want it to go anywhere.
I do want those mugs, though. this whole podcast has been a ploy to steal Jenna's mugs.
No. Inviting me on as a co-host. Encouraging me to sublet this apartment from Phil.
It's all been a ploy. I actually have another podcast I'm doing called The Mugging. Which is where I recount the tales of how I've like slowly done this.
And I think we can just fade out on that.
Yeah.
There's the true Adam humor coming in. I love it.
All right. That's all we've got this week. Kyle, thank you so much for being on the show again.
My pleasure.
Always a pleasure. So good.
Thank you.
We will have you back another time, and maybe even you'll write a story.
Mm-hmm.
I will do my best.
Oh.
I'll promise to write a story next time. I'll commit right now.
You're committing right now?
I'm committing.
Here's what we could do too. We could do a thing where you can write a story off the episode. And then when you come on, we see how mine and Jenna's story is written in 50 minutes compared to your story.
Interesting. Mm. That gives me...
Takes the pressure off of you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I might need the pressure to excel, though. You know, I might shine in that moment of
that's
fear.
That's true. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We definitely have people who can provide us with the rules.
Okay. If the viewers are willing to take the risk, I can probably do the time limit and see how bad a story I can write.
Oh, yay.
I would love it, too.
I would love that.
Because one of the things is, even if it doesn't go well, that's fine. It's still a fun time. It's still funny. It'll still be nice to read the story. All right. Thank you again, Kyle, for providing us with the rules today. So if you have any rules you'd like us to use, please send them to us. You can pass them along to us on our Facebook page or tweet them to us. We tweet at The Rules Podcast.
This episode has been produced by me, Jenna Noor.
And me, Adam Ganong.
Dave Kiney is our marketing mogul, assistant producer, and automated factory supervisor.
And Phil Paul is our reptile king. You can find past episodes of the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or wherever else you find your podcast episodes.
And if you like the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. It would mean the world to us.
And if the world ends, stop listening to the show. Please go find out what happened.
Yes, because we now know that Hugo is not going to find out what happened.
Yeah, Hugo, if you're listening in the far future, shut this off. I know TV was his thing, but maybe podcast as well. Who knows? Maybe this is going to become a television show, and he watched us as a television show.
Well, there's no humans left.
Think about it.
So he's going to run. He's going to burn through TV eventually.
Yeah.
So podcasts.
Yeah.
The final frontier.
Yeah. As the slogan often goes about podcasting.
Yes.
All right. And with that, we are out. What a letdown, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle. Kyle.
Adam.
Okay.